Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, my friend, forever sweet is thy love to me. Nothing a heart shall sever, ever thine own I'll be. Feeling thy love enfold me, close to thy precious side. Feeling thine arms uphold me, safe shall my soul abide. Sometime across the river, safe in that holy place, Jesus, my friend, forever I shall behold thy face. Then in the light of glory, how I shall praise thy love, how I shall tell the story with the redeemed above.
Good afternoon, precious saints of God, and welcome to another membership class. Of course, this is lesson number 4, and it is the Doctrinal Creed Statement of Faith of Grace Christian Church of St. Johnsville, Part 1. Our scripture text for today is Jude, chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for this lesson. We pray, Lord, that as we delve into it to our hearts and show us the importance of knowing what we believe. Bless us, O God, we pray, in the years to come, as we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would give us the discernment and the Holy Ghost ability to earnestly contend for the faith. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Jude exhorts the saints that they should earnestly contend for the faith. The faith means the corpus or the body of teaching that was delivered to all Christendom by the inspired pen of the apostles. And the reason why Jude says it's important for them to know what they believe and to fight for what they believe, because in verse 4 he says, for there are certain men who have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying. They deny the faith. They reject the faith. So we're going to be looking at Grace Christian Church's statement of faith. Before we do that, let's consider the word creed or creeds. Creeds. What are creeds? In our first bullet point definition, which comes to us by way of a dictionary of doctrinal terms, it reads, creeds, official summary statements of religious belief. Some creeds grew out of confessions learned and recited by candidates for baptism. This is the origin of the Apostles' Creed. Other creeds were officially adopted by councils of church leaders, such as the Nicene Creed. In addition to the early creeds, which are accepted by virtually all Christians, following the Reformation, the various Protestant churches adopted creeds which express their particular understanding of Christian faith. The Church of England has its 39 articles. The Presbyterians have their Westminster Confession. And the Lutherans have Martin Luther's catechisms, the first definition of creeds. Coming to us now, the second definition by the Pocket Dictionary of Theological Terms, it reads, creeds, derived from the Latin credo, I believe. A creed is a summary statement of Christian faith and belief. The purpose of the earliest creeds was to present a short summary of Christian doctrine which baptismal candidates affirmed at their baptism. Later, creeds became tools for instruction of new converts for combating heresy, as in Jude 3 and 4, and for the use in corporate worship. Three of the most famous creeds established in the first 5 centuries of church history are the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. Looking at the next definition, statements of orthodoxy. This comes to us by the Find It Quick Handy Bible Encyclopedia, produced by Dr. Ron Rhodes. He states, throughout church history, a number of important creeds, formal, authoritative statements of belief based on Holy Scripture, have been formulated as statements of orthodoxy. The word creed derives from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. Among the more important creeds are the Nicene, the Athanasian Creed, and the Chalcedonian Creed, and the Westminster Confession of Faith, or the Chalcedonian Creed. So here you have a picture, a series of books. This three-volume set is called The Creeds of Christendom, The Creeds of Christendom. It's a three-volume set. And volume one has The History of Creeds, which is 900 pages plus. Volume two has The Greek and Latin Creeds, that's 700 pages plus. And the third volume is entitled The Evangelical Protestant Creeds. That's 900 pages plus. If you're interested in studying any of these creeds, I have the three-volume set, so you can talk to me in church, and I will loan you the three-volume set. If you're interested in knowing what these creeds state and why they were written, under what circumstances were they formulated, who formulated them, in what part of the world were they used, and in what age of church history they were employed. Thus, you can understand that all throughout church history, creeds or statements of faith came into existence because the church had to fight false teaching. That's why the creeds mainly came into existence, to give us a statement of faith, to give us a corpus of doctrines, something that was formulated and something that we can use in defending the doctrines of the Christian faith. Now, every pastor should be well-versed in the history of the creeds, should be well-versed in the Greek and Latin creeds, and should be extremely well-versed in the evangelical Protestant creeds, especially the evangelical Protestant creeds, because we are evangelicals and we're Protestants. We're protesters. We're protesting heresy. We're protesting false teaching. So, let us turn to page number 3 in your outline, because here we have a very interesting little story. The story is entitled, What Do You Believe? What Do You Believe? George Whitefield, the great revivalist, asked a coal miner in Cornwall, England, "What do you believe?" "I believe what my church believes," he replied. "And what does your church believe?" "Well, my church believes what I believe." So notice, he says, "I believe what my church believes." And then he says, "Well, what does your church believe?" Well, he says, "Well, my church believes what I believe." So Whitefield's reply is, "What do you both believe? What do you believe as an individual? And what does your church believe as a collective unit of believers?" And that's a very important question. You want to know what Grace Church believes. And we hope, as a person who desires to become a member of Grace Church, that you would believe what we believe, because what we believe is based on the Word of God. So, what do you both believe? If someone was to ask you, "What do you believe?" If you were at a coffee shop and someone said, "Are you a Christian?" because they saw you reading your Bible, and you said, "Yes, I'm a Christian," and they would say to you, "Well, what do you believe?" "Well, I believe what my church, Grace Church in St. Johnsville, believes." "Well, what does your church believe?" "Well, my church believes what I believe." Well, the person will say then, "I'm confused. You haven't answered my question. What do you both believe?" The Bible says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That is 1 Peter 3:15. Well, as Christians, we ought to know theology. Theology. What is theology? Theology is the science of God. What the Bible has to say about God and all things related to God. This tree has numerous branches. What are the branches? Branch one, if you start off on your left-hand side, the lowest branch is bibliology. That's the doctrine of the Bible, biblos, the doctrine of Scripture. The second branch, theology proper, that's the doctrine of God the Father and the Trinity. Christology, that's the doctrine of Christ. Pneumatology, which is above Christology, that's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Angelology, the doctrine of angels. Satanology, the doctrine of Satan. Demonology, the doctrine of fallen angels. Anthropology, the doctrine of man. Harmartheology, the doctrine of sin. Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. And eschatology, the doctrine of last things. So let's go over these again, going from left to right. The first one, bibliology, Bible. Theology proper, God. Christology, Christ. Pneumatology, Holy Spirit. Angelology, of course, good angels. Satanology, the chief of the fallen angels. Demonology, fallen angels. Anthropology, the doctrine of man. Harmartheology, the doctrine of sin. Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. And eschatology, the doctrine of future or last things. As a pastor, as a teacher of the Word of God, it is my responsibility, as Paul said to the Ephesian church, "I did not withhold from you the whole counsel of God." All these things I just mentioned, all of these branches on this theology tree, are part of the whole counsel of God. And you have to ask yourself, what does your church believe concerning the Bible? What does it believe concerning God the Father and the Trinity? What does your church believe in Christ? What does your church have to say about the Holy Spirit? What does your church have to say about good angels? What does your church have to say about Satan? What does your church have to say about demons? What does your church have to say about man? What does your church have to say about sin? What does your church have to say about salvation? What does your church have to say about the church? And what does your church have to say about future things? That said, you should hope and pray
that whatever your church says, it says it because it's found in the Word of God. So what you believe is what your church ought to believe, and what your church believes ought to be found in the Bible, Scripture, Holy Scripture. So what is a creed? A creed is an official summary statement of religious beliefs. The English word creed is derived from the Latin credo, which means I believe, and the whole important question is, what do you believe? What you believe should be based on the Word of God, and the Word of God alone, the Word of God rightly divided. Now, when you come across Christians today, there's Christians that have a wide range of beliefs, a wide range. They believe in so many different things. And when you listen to them, you have to ask them, after they share what they believe, well, where can you find that in the Bible? Can you show me a scripture that will support what you just said? If you believe it, it ought to be based on the Word of God, and the Word of God rightly divided. And this is why it's so important for people to know the history of creeds. It's important for people to know the Greek and Latin creeds, because a lot of the stuff that we teach today that's erroneous, Much of what people spout out today as something that they wholeheartedly believe is not based on the Bible. It's based on the teachings that men came up with during the church age. And this is why you need to make sure. And that's why I love Volume 3 of Philip Schaff's The Creeds of Christendom, because it's the evangelical Protestant creeds that get it right. See? So, of course, Dr. Schaff wanted to give us a full-range history of creeds over 2,000 years. And as the Greek and Latin creeds came together during the Middle Ages, a little before the Middle Ages, and during the Middle Ages, we see the church veering off. The church not being tethered to the Word of God. How many pastors today are not tethered to the Word of God? How many churches today are not tethered to the Word of God? So the evangelical, and that you need to circle that word evangelical, and Protestant, circle the word Protestant, evangelical and Protestant. Those are the creeds that you should be most interested in, because those are the creeds that are tethered entirely to the Word of God. Now remember, there's all these subjects here, all these subjects: Bible, God, Christ, Holy Spirit, angels, Satan, demons, man, sin, salvation, church, and future things. All these doctrines, there's 66 books that give us the information to come up with a summary statement to all these different doctrines. So let's turn to page number 4. In page number 4, a man by the name of Augustine, who was Bishop of Hippo, he once said concerning doctrine, in the essentials of the faith, unity. So the word you want to put in the blank there is unity. In the essentials, what? Unity. When it comes to the doctrine of the Bible, we want to be united on the same truths. The doctrine of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we want to be on the same page. In the essentials, which are these 12 branches: Bible, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, angels, Satan, demon, man, sin, salvation, church, and future things. On those essential truths, we want to be united in Scripture. In the non-essentials, liberty. Churches fight over a lot of non-essential things. Believers, church believers fight over many non-essential things. Augustine said, don't fight over them. In the non-essentials, liberty. And next week I'll give you some examples of what are some non-essentials that you can say, well, if that's what you believe, that's okay. But in the essentials, unity. In the non-essential, liberty. And in all things, charity. So again, blank number one, unity. Blank number two, liberty. Blank number three, charity. In the essentials of the Christian faith, in the essential doctrines, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, let us love, respect, and honor one another as we talk about these things and possibly even disagree on the non-essentials. Now, we have to agree on the essentials. There can be no dividing us when it comes to the essentials. But on the non-essentials, you can have your point of view and I can have mine. And that's okay. Why? Because in all things, let us love, respect, and honor one another and just realize that when we get to heaven, God will sort it all out. Concerning now the non-essentials. And we'll get into a little bit of those next week. Now, we have an A to E example of essential truths we believe at Grace Church. We have point A, point B, point C, point D, and point E. These are essential truths that if you're going to join Grace Church, you got to be on the same page with the rest of us. All right? So, this comes directly out of the Constitution of Grace Christian Church of St. Johnsville, Article 3, which is Statement of Faith. A, on revelation. Now, on revelation is basically bibliology or the doctrine of Scripture. So in the blank, you want to put down bibliology. Bibliology. That's what on revelation means. Different churches use different terms, but on revelation is bibliology, which is the first branch in the theology tree. And this is not an exhaustive statement. This is not an exhaustive summary. This is a very basic summary. We believe that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, infallible in all it teaches, and authoritative for Christian life and understanding. Now, our statement here is proof text. In other words, we show you that our statement is tethered, anchored to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20 through 21. So again, George Whitefield asked the coal miner in Cornwall, England, what do you believe? And he says, I believe what my church believes. And Whitefield says, well, what does your church believe? Well, my church believes what I believe. Well, the bottom line is, what do you believe? What do you both believe? So, we believe the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, infallible. It's without error in all it teaches, and it is authoritative for Christian life and understanding. It is the Bible that has the authority, not the preacher. The preacher is only stating what the Bible says, and that's if the preacher is rightly dividing the word of truth. So in the first blank, A, on revelation, that is bibliology. B, on God. On God is theology proper. That's the second branch of the theology tree, the second branch. Now, here you have two bullet points. We believe in one God, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, holy, and perfectly good, just, gracious, and loving. There are all the scriptures. Notice everything tethered to the Word of God. We can back up every one of our summary statements by providing Bible verses that prove what we are declaring. We believe that God exists in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each are fully and equally God. We believe that these three are one being and worthy of our worship and service, and there are the scriptures. We believe. This has to do with theology proper on God. Letter C, on creation. On creation. Now, you're not going to find on creation here in the theology tree. You're not going to find it on one of these branches, but it still falls under the category of theology proper. So what is on creation? And this is what you need to put in the blank. On creation, the acts, plural, A-C-T-S, acts. Remember that God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. On six successive days, God performed certain acts. This is why on creation states the acts, plural, of God, which brought the universe into existence. And that's important. On creation, the acts of God, which brought the universe into existence. We believe that God and God alone exist independently, that he is the source of all reality, that he is the only being who is not created, and creation's continual existence relies on God sustaining it. And there are the scriptures. Now, the next letter is D. On humanity. On humanity is a reference to anthropology. Now, anthropology, you'll find that branch all the way on the right side of the tree, anthropology. It is right next to demonology and right next to Harmar theology. It's right in the middle of demonology and Harmar theology, anthropology. So that's on humanity. We believe that humanity is made in the image of God and that God loves and desires fellowship with all humanity. He made us holy vessels to represent him in the world and glorify his name. There are the scriptures. Again, we believe that all humanity has fallen due to sin, making us inclined to do evil rather than good without divine intervention. And without that intervention, we now face spiritual and physical death and alienation from God. There are the scriptures. So notice, these are short. These are very brief and short summaries, statements of faith. While they're short, they are not incomplete. They're concise, but they're full in their doctrinal expression. We don't need to be extremely wordy in order to get our point across when it comes to any of these points or summaries of doctrine. So on humanity, anthropology, God created man in his image. God desires fellowship with man, but man has sinned. Man has fallen by grace, from grace. And now man is what? Destitute and cut off from God. Now, letter E, on Christ, that would be Christology. Christology goes in the blank. We believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, in his miracles, in his vicarious, gracious, and atoning death under Pontius Pilate, in his bodily resurrection, and in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his personal return in power and glory. There are the scriptures. So, Grace's Church Statement of Faith, which are, again, remember, in the essentials what? Unity. In the essentials, unity. Now, if you wanted to become a member of Grace Church and you had problems with our statement on the Bible, let's say you say, well, I disagree with this point and I disagree with that point, then you couldn't be a member of Grace Church, because these are the statements of faith here in their concise summary. These are what we consider essentials. No one joining Grace Church should have a problem with any of these statements. No one. If you're a true believer, if you're a true Christian, if you're truly born again, no one joining Grace Church should have a problem with these concise statements of faith. Now, I do know from experience that there would be people out there that would say, yeah, I have a problem with this. Then we would say to those individuals, you cannot be a member of Grace Church. Let's say, for example, let's go on Christ. Let's look at one example. If you were to say to us, I do not believe that Christ is God. I do not believe in his deity. I don't believe in his virgin birth, and I don't believe that he was a sinless man. Then we would say to you, you can't be a member of Grace. Why? Because he is God. Because he was born of a virgin, and Christ never sinned. For you to want to be a member of Grace and say, well, I believe the opposite of that, we will not grant you membership. Why? Because you hold to different teachings. In fact, your teachings are so erroneous that they are Satan-inspired. Anyone who goes against the deity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, and the sinless life of Christ, anyone who teaches contrary to that says, no, Jesus was a sinner. You're not born again. You're not. If you don't believe that Christ's vicarious, gracious, and atoning death saves humanity, if you don't believe in that, you say, well, he was just a great teacher, but he's not really the savior of the world, you can't be a member of Grace Church. See, all of these positions, if you say, let's take, for example, bibliology. Let's go to letter A on Revelation. If you were to say to us, nah, I don't believe that the Bible is inspired of God. I just believe that the Bible is a collection of good books and that run-of-the-mill men wrote the Bible. They put down their own beliefs, their own customs, their own traditions, but God had nothing to do with the Bible. God did not inspire the Bible. You could not be a member of Grace Church. Why? Because these are the essentials. This is what binds us together. This is what unites us. In the essentials, unity. Now, what I just stated before, you would argue, well, they're not essential. Well, they're essential to us. But they're non-essentials to us. Well, then listen, our disagreement is just too vast, and we can't grant you membership. And you can go down the road and apply and get membership somewhere else. And that's on you, and that's on that church. But at Grace Church, we have this statement of faith. We have a statement of orthodoxy. We have a creed. And again, when you compare the creed or the statement of faith of Grace Church, it is concise. It's a short summary on each one of these. Now, you go and look, you take volume 3 of Philip Schaff's book on the evangelical and Protestant creeds, and there are pages and pages and pages and pages of what the Protestant evangelical churches said about God. There are pages and pages and pages of what the Protestant evangelical churches said about Christ and the Holy Spirit. There are pages and pages and pages and pages galore about what the Protestant evangelical churches said about the church. So you don't get that with Grace. What you get is a concise, you get a short summary. And if you can't agree with the short summary, you got problems. You have problems. Because everything that we state here, as you can see, is matched to a Bible verse. So it's something that you should be able to say, yeah, I believe in that. I believe that there's one God. For Moses said, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. You got to agree with that. It's scripture. It's Bible. That God is eternal, yes. That he's all-powerful, yes. That he's all-knowing, yes. That he's everywhere, that he's omnipresent, absolutely. That God is holy, absolutely. For the seraphims in Isaiah's vision said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Of course he's holy. If you say, well, you know, God and Satan, they're pretty much the same, then we would have to say, you can't be a member of Grace Church. In the essentials of the Christian faith, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, what? Charity. Now, the non-essentials are little things that shouldn't divide us, little things. The essential are major things. You may want to write that down. Essentials are major things. Non-essential are little things. Little things. So, we'll come back next week and we'll look at the other five. There's another five. Another five. Starting at letter F and working our way all the way down to J, you will see that there are another five statements that make up the concise statement of faith for Grace Church. And I hope and pray that you believe, not because I want you to join Grace, but because the statement of faith lines up with the Word of God. This is not about you joining Grace. It's about you knowing what the Word of God says, and we haven't written anything down here that violates the Bible. Everything made in this summary statement and each one of these points lines up with the Word of God, and we just want you to line up with the Word of God because we're lined up with the Word of God. And none of these things should be rejected because they're just basic tenets. Basic. Basic means elementary tenets. You don't have to think long and say, well, you know, this is a debatable point. No, this is so basic. Like, for example, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, inspired of the Holy Spirit. That's basic. If you have a problem with that, you have a major problem. Because your problem is not with us, with Grace Church. Your problem is with the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word of God. So, again, we'll come back next week. Read each one of these statements. If you have any questions, you can ask me during the week. You can approach me. You can call me. You all have my number, and you can call me. You can ask me any question that you want as I am teaching this series on doctrine. And, again, next week I'll give you some examples on non-essentials. And the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. You do as you want. And in all things, charity. God bless you. See you all Sunday morning as we come together to worship the Lord and to praise his name. May God continue to bless you and yours. Until then.
Endless joy is coming.
Singing.